So generally, I like to open up, even adult class, with one thing. And I usually like to try, if I don't forget, to close the class with the same thing. And it's just a simple saying of, what does the Bible say? And that's what I want us to look at this evening. That's how we'll end our lesson this evening, is just simply, what does the Bible say? And that's where we need to keep things. So we see here in Colossians chapter 1, if you haven't turned there yet, Colossians chapter 1. Now, I know that we're all here this evening for the same goal and the same purpose and the same reason. We're here with our brothers and sisters in Christ, those of like precious faith, and because we simply love the Lord and His church and what it has become. Now, we don't need to get into all the ins and outs. I know that we know that the building is just that. It's just a building. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. But we know the building is just a building according to the scriptures. But who makes up the church? The people, right? Just any people? Christians, right? So anybody can walk in the door. Anybody's welcome to come in and listen to what we have to say. But not everybody makes up the church. Now, Don has went over this a million times. I told you, I like fundamentals. You know, I know sometimes we get into Bible class settings, or maybe somebody gets up, oh, here we go, another sermon on authority. Well, why wouldn't we? We need to teach these fundamentals. If we don't know authority and how to establish Bible authority, if we don't understand necessary inference, direct command, apostolic example, then the rest is out the door. We're not going to know how to teach the scriptures according to Matthew chapter 28, right? Starting in verse 18, where Jesus says, all power and authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If we can't put that together, especially verse 18, we're going to look at verse 18 here in just a minute. If we don't agree that Christ has all authority, and this is where it comes from, we're already going to be on shaky ground. So we need to be very careful and understand where this is coming from and what my responsibility is. You'll hear me say this, and Lord willing, if I get to preach other lessons, we were here for one thing, and that's to make other Christians. We have all these side things that get us confused on what we're supposed to be doing. But we see from Matthew chapter 28, there in 18 through the end of the chapter, what's he given us a responsibility to do as Christians? What's that? Go, right? To make other Christians, that's our job. And to do our job, we need to understand the scriptures, right? Study to show thyself approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It doesn't say reading the scriptures. Studying and reading is not the same thing. So we need to understand that. I would, you know, none of us here would ever say, don't go home and read your Bible. We know what we mean by that. We all know folks who have said, hey, I've read through the Bible 10 times. I got guys I work with. I've read through the Bible 10 times. Well, you might have read through it 10 times, but you didn't study it to understand the application that's to be there. We have the same problem sometimes, don't we? I mean, we struggle with application sometimes. Now, we need to be careful and make sure that we're studying so that we're making the proper application to whatever we're looking at and whatever we're studying, like tonight's, what we want to look at tonight for just a few moments. So Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. Now, I'll tell you guys, I had an eye appointment. My glasses haven't come, so hold on. My arms aren't long enough anymore to get this book away from my face to be able to read, so we'll work on that. Colossians chapter 1, and starting in verse 15 there, it says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. We're going to stop there in verse 18. And understanding, we're going to get into preeminence, and we'll look a little bit at this here in just a moment. But we see here that the church has been been since the beginning, in the mind of God since the beginning. And we see here who is head of that church. So we have to look at that just a little bit before we get into love and unity. And I know that there are a lot of folks out there, that's all we preach about. We only preach about love. We only preach about love. Well, we preach about love because it's extremely important, because we're going to look here in 1 John that it's put out there for us where love needs to be, especially when it comes to those of the household of faith. So yes, we do talk about love a lot. You know why we talk about it? Because we lack it a lot of times. We're going to talk about, can Christians be selfish with their love? And if we're selfish with our love, are we going to be unified like we should be? So we need to look at some of these things and think about it. When we say some of these things, you know, oh, that's all we do. We just talk about love. We just talk about, well, we talk about the things that we lack in. And a lot of times we lack in love. Well, I love brother so-and-so. I kind of like sister so-and-so. I don't love her quite as much as I love brother so-and-so. So we'll get into all that here in just a few moments. But to build up to that just a little bit, we're all familiar with Mark chapter 16 and verse 18. And we have to look at the church here for just a moment. And we have to see who the church is built on. And we see in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the church was built by who? Right. On Jesus Christ. And it belongs to who? Jesus Christ. Now, when we get that into our heads, we'll understand where our position is in this whole scheme, in this scheme that God has put us in. And if we look in Colossians chapter 1, which we already did, right? If you're still there, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18 tells us that he is head of what? Not only the church, but the what? He is the body of all things, right? He is the head of all things. Again, we already looked at Matthew 28, 18. He has all what? All power and all authority, right? And here, what do we see here? We see Paul reiterating what Christ has already said. So we see here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, that, the body, the church, those who are saved, those who have been dipped in the watery grave of baptism, are the ones that are going to make up the church that we see and that we know of today. Without getting into all the scriptures, we don't have time for that this evening. So with that understanding, just that few passages of scriptures, we can see what we are doing and why we are here this evening. Now, again, we go back, and we're not going to go back to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 because we understand we've already said Christ has all power and authority. But just like, you know, we talk a lot about our homes, right? And our homes, right, as individual Christians, our homes are built on a what? On a foundation, right? And it has to be built on a solid foundation, right? And that solid foundation is who? Christ, right? The Word of God. That's what we're going to build our foundation on, right? So is the church any different? No. Is the church built on a solid foundation? What happens when it starts to crack or buckle? Some of us, we might have been a part of places that have buckled, maybe cracked, right? Right? What happens? What happens when the local church strays from God's word, maybe? Maybe the elders aren't doing what they need to do to make sure we're staying strong, staying where we need to be. What happens to the local church? It destroys itself, right? The local church can destroy itself. Now, we know that it was built by who? Right? On the foundations that Christ have left us, right? So if he built something, it was built what? It was built perfect. What happens when we get involved sometimes? Are we pretty good at destroying things? We can be, right? Right? May not be intentional. Our intentions may not have been to tear down the foundation of the local church. But maybe in the long run, that is what happened because of what we're going to look at. Lack of love. And lack of unity. Go ahead, Brother Taylor.
You can see the very thing with the church of Corinth.
Yep.
I mean, that's a perfect pattern for what we're talking about, how to destroy
the church. Yep. Even after Paul came and rebuked them time after time, and the apostles, they still wanted to do their own thing, right? And we can see it. Listen, we're 2,000 years removed. Is it any different today? No. I mean, we try to be. We don't want to be that way. We have the example in 1 and 2 Corinthians, but yet sometimes we still don't follow the pattern that was left before us, whether it was good or bad, right? I mean, we have some patterns that are left before us. They're brothers in Corinth, and we see that they had a problem, and the church came to a halt there because they destroyed the church because of their lack of love for authority and their lack of love for the scriptures is really what it came down to, and personal gain. We'll talk about that a little bit. You know, some things, again, haven't changed. Did anybody, somebody else have a hand up that I missed? Okay. So, again, go over with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Like I said, there are so many more verses that we could look at tonight, but obviously for time, we won't have the time to do that, unfortunately. So, we're talking about the foundation again. Now, we're talking specifically, right? We're not talking about our own personal foundation, but let's think about something for one second. Let's think about something. The foundation of the church Is it going to be solid? Right, the local church. Again, we're not talking about universal. We're talking about the local body that we're members of, right? Where we're trying to do our work in the hardest of our, best of our ability, right, to serve the Lord and to make sure that we are striving to be the church of the New Testament that the Lord would expect us to be. What does that foundation have to be built on, right? Are Christians who are not as excited, not zealous about God's word, maybe their foundation is a local church going to strive with a lot of members who are not striving to be what they need to be? No, right? Right? We can be honest with ourselves, right? If I want to spend as little time here as possible, why would I think the church would be extra strong if I don't want to understand Hebrews 10:25 and what it means to be with the saints and assemble with the saints at every opportunity that I have, right? They call them, backseat Christians. Are backseat Christians going to let our foundation be strong to the Lord? No, right? I mean, we can shake our head no. We can be honest about that. We're not pointing anybody out this evening or anything like that. Each of us know our own, right? The Bible's going to talk about we all have abilities, right? No matter who you are here this evening. I don't want to get off topic. I have a tendency to do it every once in a while, but I'll come back. But we're going to see the scriptures. If you have obeyed the gospel, if you have been dipped in the watery grave of baptism, you have a responsibility to the local church that you are a member of. In some way, you have some kind of response. There is something that the Lord has blessed you with to be able to do the work there. He says that. We're told that in the scriptures. Now, for some of us, it might take us a while to figure out what our ability is. Just because you were baptized last week doesn't mean this week you have some kind of special ability that you never had. That's not how the scriptures work. But we all have an ability and a work to do, right? We went back, Matthew chapter 28, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say, well, just a select few of you go out there and make disciples. We all at least have the responsibility to build up the local church by teaching and preaching the gospel to those that we come in contact with. We all have that responsibility. Matthew chapter 28 gives us that responsibility. In some way, shape, or form, we have the responsibility to make sure we are building the church up at the location we are at in some form. We all have been given some type of gift to make sure that we're able to take the gospel at least to others to help the local church at least grow in that nature. So let's keep that in mind when we're talking about this foundation. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. I got off there just a little bit, but we'll come back here. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Again, we're looking at passages of scriptures that the majority of us here should be familiar with. These aren't new by any means whatsoever. Brother Don just read this one to us, talking about Christ being the chief cornerstone there in verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, to whom the whole building being fitted together grows into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for the dwelling place of the Spirit. Let's go back up there for just a minute. Let's look at verse 20. Again, a passage of scripture. Most of us probably have that. I have that highlighted in my Bible, some notes around it. We probably all have that. We go back up. We talk about this foundation that the local church is built on here. Having been built on the foundations of who? The apostles and the prophets, with who being the chief cornerstone? Christ, right? We don't need to get into all this evening. I don't have time to get into denominationalism. Brother Don does a great job talking about denominationalism. But it is just as easy for the local church to fall into the same snares and the temptations that are put before denominational brethren when it comes to not understanding the scriptures. When we don't have Christ as the chief cornerstone, we're not using the apostolic examples that have been left for us from the apostles to make sure that we have a solid foundation at the local church that we are at. Now, we all have a responsibility in that foundation. There are a lot that, we have elders. I really don't have to do a whole lot. It's their job to do these things. And if that's our train of thought and that's our mindset, we've missed the boat on the scriptures. We all here, all of us here who have made our lives right with God, have a responsibility to make sure that the church here at Brown Street is running according to God's will. It's not just the elder's responsibility to help those who are needy, those who are sick, those who haven't made it, those who are in the nursing homes, whatever the situation may be. It's all of our responsibilities to make sure that these things are being done. You know, and I have to ask myself sometimes, and I mean myself, am I doing what I need to do to make sure that the church here at Brown Street is flourishing to the best of its ability? You know, now, while we're working together as a collective group, sometimes I need to ask myself questions as an individual to make sure I am doing what I can with the collective group here to make sure that we are growing to the best of our ability. You know, and we need to make sure that we are doing those things because it takes all of us to make sure that the foundation here is solid. Okay, Brother Tate. Absolutely.
I mean, I know forgiveness is involved there. But I thought about what Paul told Timothy about studying, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we would all make application of what Paul told Timothy, the church would never have problems.
Yeah. You're still in my thunder. Yeah. No, that's a great point. You're still in some of my thunder. We're going to bring that up in a minute. But that's a great point. You know, about all of us having this responsibility. And I know that a lot of times, you know, many of us can probably remember the day we were baptized. You come out of that water, you're eager, you're ready to serve the Lord. But as time goes on, the pounding gets lighter and it gets lighter and it gets lighter and maybe just fades away. Or we have this attitude of, you know, the Christian retirement, you know. Hey, it's your job now. You're younger. You go out and do those things. I don't read of the Christian retirement in the Bible. The apostles weren't on a retirement plan. They preached the gospel until they were put to death. So we need to remember that there is no retirement plan, you know. And I've heard that from brethren, not per se the retirement plan, but I've heard from brethren at places that I've been. Well, I've been doing this for years. It's the young people's turn. No, that's not what the scriptures teach. You know, I have a responsibility to make sure the young people are being raised the way they need to be to make sure the foundation of the church, when I am gone, continues to stand at that location. So I need to keep that in mind. Those of us who our hair may be a little bit grayer, maybe we're a little bit more seasoned, maybe we need to think about that sometimes. I don't retire from being a Christian. I don't retire from the work of the local church. There's no retirement plan. Listen, I know we all get a little bit older. We all slow down a little bit. Our vision starts to go. It's harder to read that small print in your Bible. Those things happen. But there is no retirement plan. I still, until the day I die, have a responsibility to preach and teach the gospel and to try to get as many souls saved as I can and get them to come to the local church, get them to understand that they are now going to be important to the foundation of the church at this location, or whatever location you might be a part of. Anybody else have anything they want to add to any of that? Oh, come on. All right, so thinking about and getting in a little bit more into our lesson. And as I said, you know, I kind of hit on that just a little bit about, you know, we need Christians of all ages, no matter what they are, to have a solid foundation. We do need, now, don't take me wrong when I said that about the elders. We need good elders. Good elders who are going to stand up. They're going to take a leadership position. I think that's becoming more and more tough for some reason. I think, obviously, sometimes the local church patterns itself and starts to follow what the world does. You know, the world gets soft. We get soft. You know, we're soft on that. Listen, I can tell you about soft on crime all day. You know, we just investigated a guy. It took us 9 months to get the guy, and they give him 3 months of probation with an ankle bracelet for selling fentanyl. So, you know, sometimes the church will pattern what the world's doing. When the world's soft, we start to get soft. We can't get soft because we start to get soft. What happens to our foundation? Right? It's going to start to crumble. Right? So we need good men with good wives, and so on and so forth. Again, another lesson for another day, but we need good, solid men that are willing to step up and be leaders. Not just, well, I'm an elder by name. I'm actually going to do the hard part. Sometimes being an elder, it's hard. There's hard decisions that have to be made when you become an elder. Very difficult decisions that have to be made that are going to affect people, not only in their life, but their souls. You know, and that needs to be taken into consideration in this foundation, that we have men who are solid in the work, that are willing to make the hard decisions when hard decisions come. If you want a solid foundation, You want a solid local church. You want to follow the pattern that has been left before us. You have men that are willing to do the hard work that needs to be done. There's way more work that needs to be done than painting the building, putting the stripes on the parking lot, and cutting the grass. Those mean nothing when it comes to the foundation. It's nice. God has blessed the congregation here with a nice building. God has blessed us with so many nice things. But in the grand scheme of things, these things mean nothing when it comes to our actual real foundation. Right? I'm sure some of us here have been to places where, man, this is a beautiful building. They have really nice stuff. Their foundation is gone. They have no foundation. The foundation has been wiped away years ago and never rebuilt. And that could, again, that could be for various reasons. But we need solid men who are willing to make the hard decisions scripturally to make sure that that foundation stays as strong as it can. So as we look to, as I said, as we're, I'm going to run out of time. And we wanted to look at two things that I think scripturally that we can look at that really bring it home when it comes to this foundation and what makes the local church strong to its core. Now, we see that the Bible talks about three kinds of love, and I won't ask you what those are. I'm sure we all know. That's agape, phileo, and eros. And we want to look at phileo. That's brotherly love this evening. That's what we want to look at when it comes to love. We can't even talk. You know, I have some notes in my Bible. We can't even talk about unity. If there is no love at the local church, we're not going to be unified. I mean, it's impossible. You know, and something else I was going to look at, we obviously don't have time. Edification falls in there too. Edification is extremely important to the local church. But yet, if we don't have love, as we're going to see from the scriptures here, one for another, the local church is going to struggle, it's not going to strive, and it's not going to be unified. And through love, we're going to see, comes forgiveness. That's very important. Don has just been preaching some lessons on that, and forgiveness is difficult for us to do sometimes. And now, I'm very cautious. I do say we sometimes. There are brethren who are able to do what they need to do. But, you know, I use we just as a figure of speech. Most of the time when I say we, I say I. You know, it's myself that I have to be careful, especially when it comes to love. And this is what we were talking about. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 3. I think Brother Dale had his hand up. Did you have your hand up? Did you have your hand? Again, that's what he's preaching to the brethren in Corinth. They don't have love for one another. They're holding trespasses against each other. They're asking each other for forgiveness, and they're not doing it. Paul is calling them to the plate on it. You know, it makes me wonder sometimes if Paul walked in the doors of some of the congregations I've been a member of, would he be disappointed in our behavior? Would he be disappointed in my lack of love towards my brethren? Again, we're talking about the foundation of the church, but sometimes I have to think about myself individually. Am I playing my part in the local church, especially when it comes to having a grounded, solid foundation at the local church? Am I playing my part? You know, we're going to talk here in just a minute. I have some notes written here in my Bible when we get to talking about love here in just a moment. You know, do I just get to love the people that I like? You know, this little section's my section. I like them. I love them. Those folks over there are okay. You know, I just don't love them quite as much. You know, again, before we get into too much of this, what is the, other than Christians, what is majority of local congregations made up of? What is our makeup? People, yeah, but what is our makeup? Like if you look around, you got a group that sits here, you got a group that sits here. What are they usually? Families, right? Families majority make up the church, right? So we got a lot of Taylors around here. There's some Kenses back there, you know, whatever it is, you know. So the church is made up majority a lot of times of families, right? Can that be a problem? Could that cause a problem in the local church? I see heads nodding, right? If I'm not careful, that can cause a problem. I only love this group. I don't like this. This group, I do love them, but just not as much as I do. So when we get to heaven, are we going to be separated into groups? No, we're not. So we need to be very careful about that, especially in the local church. We need to be very careful about, can I be, now we're going to get into this, can I be stingy with my love? I shouldn't be, but can I be? Yeah, I can be, right? That's what that would be, right? We see that Jesus did what? God gave us his only begotten son. He died upon the cross, and through the shedding of his blood gives just select people the remission of their sins. No, why? Because he loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten son, and through his blood, we have a way to have eternity in heaven. That's love. Do I show that same love towards my brother? We can look at Ephesians chapter 5, right? Talks a little bit about love there. What Christ did for us, a husband-wife relationship. But can that happen in the local church? You nod your head, yeah, it happens. Unfortunately, it happens, right? I have to be on guard that I'm making sure that I'm not doing these things. That I'm making sure that everything I'm doing is for the glorification of who? Of God, right? Especially when I come together with those of like precious faith, right? Sometimes we say, well, you know, the church is clicky. There's a lot of clicks. Listen, do folks hang out with people that they have something more in common with sometimes? Yeah, but guess what? We all have the greatest thing in common, and that is Jesus Christ and what he has done for each and every one of us. And that's what our foundation is built on. That's where we should be a lot of the times in our thinking, is Christ did this for me. God sent his son to show me so much love that he died upon the cross. Not just for a select few, but for every single one of us, all of mankind. So we want to try to keep that in perspective. Every time we come here, we need to be very careful about, my feelings. See, this is where the church sometimes parallels what the world does, right? You know, my feelings, you know. I couldn't tell you how many people, and young people, that I go, you know, when I was on patrol, go to arrest, you know. Well, this guy hurt my, well, okay, he hurt your feelings. That's not against the law. I'm trying to arrest somebody because they hurt your feelings. You know, sometimes I think as Christians we need to do that. Should we purposely be hurting each other's feelings? No, that's not love. Does it happen? Yes. What should we do? We just shake it off. We should move on. Right? And if we could do that, could we even fathom how strong the local church would be if we were willing just to forgive, forget, move on? Because sometimes we get our feelings hurt, and it's not on purpose. Not somebody's not trying to purposely hurt my feelings. Right? I would hope not. I would hope that wouldn't be our mindset, because if that's our mindset, we're not doing everything here for the glorification of God. I think I saw a hand up somewhere. Good one. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. 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 Yeah, and it's even. Yeah. Well, I think about a place. So when I grew up in Charleston, there were two churches, one at Daugherty Street, one at Oakwood Road. I never could figure out when I got older why these two, one congregation of 30 and one congregation of 30 wouldn't get together in the same city. Well, 40 years ago, this happened. 40 years ago. So 40, 50 years later, we still can't be one strong church because of something that somebody did 40 years ago that hurt my feelings. That's the point I'm trying to get at. So how are we going to be in heaven together if we can't worship together? It seems like a very strange concept to me. Maybe it's foreign to me. Maybe somebody here can help me in the right direction, but it seems very foreign to me. If I can't worship you with you, if I can't worship our God together for his glorification while we're on this earth, how are we going to do this when we get to heaven? I'm trying to figure that out in my head. Go ahead, Sam. I would agree with you on that. So it's a simple concept. That's all. Oh, go ahead, Autumn. absolutely. You know, listen, this is probably the largest congregation I've ever been a part of. And, you know, I sit on this side of the boat. Sometimes it's hard for me to catch people on this side of the boat every week before everybody leaves, you know. Hey, listen, it's nothing. I love every single one of you, you know. But it's hard sometimes to get to this side of the boat, sitting on that side of the boat after you get caught up. I'm a talker. So, you know, if I see Don, it's all over. I'm not going to make it to that side of the boat. You know, we're going to talk. If I see Brother Dell, we might be talking about guns and knives for the next 15 minutes, and I look over, and this side of the boat's already left. So, you know, again, those are things we can't take personal. That doesn't mean we don't love each other, you know. But we're going to see here from some of this. Well, heck, we're not going to make it. Some of the scriptures. Maybe I'll get opportunity. We can finish this lesson some other time. But we're going to see here, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. We're going to see the scriptures are very specific about how we should love our brethren and how we should treat them. And again, I have to be very careful to make sure that I have concern for my brethren, you know, and that I'm not stingy with my love, that I'm willing to share it with those that I come in, especially those of the household of faith. Listen, I can't do this by myself. So when we come to this conclusion, Christianity isn't about doing this all by myself. I can't do it by myself. I cannot do this without you, right? And to have you, I need to love you, and you need to love me, right? We see here 1 John. We were going to look at 1 John quite a bit tonight. 1 John, Paul talks a lot in 1 John about love and how we need to be one towards another and how we need to behave towards one another, how we need to be forgiving towards one another. As God forgave us, we need to forgive our brethren. And we need to forget, forgive, and move on sometimes to make sure that we are doing what's for the glorification of God and make sure the foundation here is strong no matter what we do. So obviously we're not going to make it here to 1 John tonight, but we can see here that he's very, very. Let's go ahead and look at 1 John chapter 3. We're going to look at verses. Let's see here. I'm sorry, I think I said Paul and I meant John. 1 John chapter 3 here, starting in verse. We can go down to verse 10. There's actually quite a few. We can go over to chapter 4. We can see here in chapter 3. We see there it says. In this, the children of God, starting in verse 10, and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice religious righteousness is not of God, nor does he love his, or nor does he love not love his brother. For this is, I'm sorry, let me get this up here. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who was wicked, the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did you murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But let's jump over real quick to chapter 4 there, starting in verse 7. We see here that John says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who is loves is born of God and knows God. We see here, we could keep going all the way down to verse 11. So why is this, and I have this note here, no love, no unity. Obviously, we're not going to make it over to unity tonight. We only have a few minutes left. Why is this so hard? And I actually have this question posed after verse 11. Why is it so hard for me to love my brethren? Is it difficult from time to time? Are there difficulties that come up between brethren from time to time? Absolutely there are, right? Now, if we would have had time to get into unity tonight, we're going to see that there's some things that we have to be unified on. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not Brother Dell's opinion. It's not Jimmy's opinion. It's not Don's opinion. It's not anybody else's opinion. Right, we have to agree and be unified on it, on the foundation that we are building. So no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Right, we don't have time. If we had a longer class period, we could go into some of those things. We don't have time this evening to do that. But is there times, have you had times in your life where you have had difficulty loving brethren? Right, we're human beings, right? It happens. It happens, right? What do we do about that? What did we just say? We're going to study what? Apply the scriptures, right? We're going to end our class like we started the class. What does the Bible say? The Bible will tell me exactly how to handle those difficulty times between me and a brother or sister in Christ, and how it should be handled, and how it should get handled. Do we always do it the right way? No. Do we always know what to say? No. Again, we're not always out. If your intention is to hurt a brother or sister in Christ's feelings, you got more things that you need to worry about. Again, that's not usually how it works. So, is that the last bell? Okay. So we'll take these things, hopefully you take these things into consideration. I really appreciate the time this evening that I've had to talk in Bible class here, and I really appreciate your attention. And if you have any questions, just let me know, and I'd be more than happy to sit and study with you. I appreciate it.